Before I was an intern here, I was an assistant teacher in the preschool. Most of you may not know that. Miss Anna's class for 2 and 3-year-olds. And it was a challenging year, even for a pro like Miss Anna, and she is. We had a couple of biters, Camden and Tyler. Now, those aren't their real names. I'm using fake names to protect the guilty. They were. Anyway, you know, Camden would have a toy and Tyler would want it. Tyler would have a toy, Camden would want it. They'd go at it. And pretty soon, one bit the other. He got bit back. Miss Anna and I, we would talk about playing nice. We would talk about forgiving. We would talk to their moms. And I even did a bit of shaming. Only babies bite. Didn't work. Finally, we just separated them, kept them separate. One day there was no warning. No fight, no argument. Tyler just walked over and bit Camden on the arm, hard. And I said, "Tyler, why did you do that?" And he said, "Last month he bit me." Yeah, he did. I was getting even. This little 3-year-old had fanned the flames of that anger for a month, plotting revenge. As the gospel story opens, the disciples are with Jesus, who is teaching them. And Jesus has just said, "You must forgive someone who has sinned against you 7 times. If they come back and repent, you must forgive them 7 times. And we've heard that number 7, right? Jesus is saying, you must forgive continually. And when they hear it, the disciples say, "Increase our faith." And I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like a pretty reasonable request for someone who has just been told this demanding teaching about forgiving. Lord, increase our faith. But what Jesus says back to them is this really well-known verse that says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, which is about like that big, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. So, you know, doesn't that sound kind of snarky? I mean, really? That sounds snarky to me. And why would Jesus say that? All they asked was that he increase their faith so they can forgive continually. And maybe I shouldn't accuse Jesus of being snarky, and maybe it is not snarky. Maybe Jesus is simply saying, you have faith enough. Your faith, as small as it may be, is sufficient. Maybe that's what he's saying. It's almost as though he's saying, you have it backwards, guys. You have it backwards. You want more faith so you can forgive. But what you need to do is start forgiving, and your faith will grow. We get clues that it could be that in our other readings today. Psalm 37 warned us, do not be provoked. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. And it ends with this, refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. It leads only to evil. Resentment is dangerous stuff for us. Resentment is dangerous for us. So what happens if we let go of jealousy and anger and rage, besides our blood pressure improving? What takes their place in us? In 2 Timothy, we're told this. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you, your faith. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Faith is strong stuff, life-giving stuff, power and love and self-discipline. Desmond Tutu wrote, "Forgiving means abandoning your right to pay back the perpetrator in his own coin. But it is a loss that liberates the victim." The victim. Forgiving, like we're talking about it here, is not about the perpetrator, not about the sinner. It's not about the one who committed the harm. The liberating power of forgiveness is for the victim, the one who has been harmed. And I'm going to stop right here and be really, really clear. I am not saying that those who harm others should not bear consequences. I am not saying that. And I am not saying that people who are being abused should stay in abusive situations. I'm not saying that. I am saying that when an injury has been done to us, we don't fully recover until we can forgive. And that is not easy. But it is possible. When we are persuaded or have faith, it's the same word in the Greek, to be persuaded or to have faith that our self-worth is from God, not from that one who has harmed us. My value is from God. And the spirit of power and love and freedom is given to me when I rekindle that gift inside me and let the other go. One morning in Miss Anna's preschool class, Tyler and Camden were at it again. And Tyler was taunting Camden with a toy that both boys wanted. It was Camden's turn, but Tyler wouldn't let go. This time, Camden did not bite. He didn't take the bait at all. He walked away, and he sat down, and he picked up another project. And I said, "Camden, you can have a turn now." And he said, "Nope, I'm okay. I don't need it." Camden was totally cool. Tyler was powerfully provoked. Tyler was so frustrated by this kid he couldn't goad anymore. And I was blown away by a three-year-old kid who had the maturity and courage to do what I so often fail to do. I am not telling you this story about Camden and Tyler because I think everything that is making us angry or jealous or hurting us is so easy as a three-year-old classroom. Because it's not. And most of us would trade all that for a bite on the arm in a heartbeat, because it's over fast. I'm telling you this story, but Camden is my hero. He changed the one thing he could change. He changed how he responded to what caused him pain. He changed how he responded to what caused him pain. And I struggle sometimes to do that. Camden had let go, and he was free, powerfully free. And how did Nadia Boltz-Weber say it? "Forgiveness is not a pansy act of niceness. Forgiveness is an act that cuts us free. And free people can say no to stupid, speak power to stupid. Free people aren't controlled by the past. Free people are not chained by resentment. They laugh more. They see beauty where others don't. There really is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not, shall not overcome it." Amen.